Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon, everybody. Great to be with you here every Saturday. I am Patty Mack. You're listening to Lifestyle on CFAX 1070. Today on the show, we're going to talk to Vicki Sanders, who's a Saanich counselor. Lots of updating there, as you may have read. But we're going to talk about some of the great stuff for the park, stuff to do in the summer, the McKenzie Interchange, which, of course, is great news and that will affect Saanich. Also, we're going to talk to All of the Senses, which is a tasting experience at the Hudson. Love that name. They have balsamic vinegars and olive oils, and we're going to hear about the health benefits and all the great stuff they have and maybe some recipe ideas, which is always good this time of year. But joining me first is Vicki Sanders, Saanich counselor. How are you?
I'm doing great, Patty. Nice to see you.
Are you? Wow. Well, what a time since the election. Lots and lots of stuff going on in Saanich. How are things going for you?
They're going great.
They're going great.
Yeah.
And are you guys all working well together?
I always have a positive attitude about everything.
You know what? I think I always live in the gray, you know, because I'm not a black or white. And, you know, as part of the Mount Tommy, I still am Mount Tommy Community Association president, past president, almost 20 years, I guess, now doing this. That's how I met you. So we were grassroots because you were the president of two associations.
Yeah, I'm a founding member of both, Quadra Cedar Hill and Camolison.
Right. So, you know, coming from that level, what kind of stuff do we work on? Roads, signage, and development. Good development.
Yep.
Roundabouts or no roundabouts?
Absolutely.
Depending.
We still talk about the no roundabout.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? That's a little area in Saanich. What's that park called? They call it a park.
Rendell Green.
So that's at Richmond and Cedar Hill Crossroad.
And Poplar.
So, you know, it's a bad area. Right now there's a stop sign. You got to pretty much do a, you know, crank your head kind of like the Exorcist to turn around. So do you think it's better now the way it is, or do you think something still should be done?
I want to comment. Is that the stop sign that my husband blew through the other night?
Yeah, exactly.
And he said, well, how long has that been there? 3-4 years?
Well, it was a yield, and then they moved the stop sign way up front.
Oh.
You know, this is what we do in the community. And this is why you get involved, is because whether it's a sidewalk, now that we have Cedar Hill Crossroad because of our group's efforts, or the plaque up on Mount Tommy, which is part of us, which is the directional marker. So when you see tourists up there or wedding parties, you go, we did that. With the Rotor, we did it together with Saanich.
Yeah, and Camolison did a bench halfway up on the south side of the Mayfair, and that was a matching grant from the municipality and give people a chance to have a little break as though on the way up.
Yeah, I hope young people kind of start taking over some of these things because, you know, at a certain point, we need to hand over the reins to some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's lots of great events we could do, like at Horner Park again with picnics. But they take a lot of effort and time. And sometimes, you know, you've been there, done that. So it's time for other people to step up. So I really encourage you. I know our association is always welcome to have people come in with their ideas and help
out. Yeah, I was at your AGM and it was super. Good turnout, a nice presentation from the Saanich police.
Totally. Great. And, you know, Marlene Bergsman does a great job as a president. And, you know, emergency preparedness, we have Joe Mogentali, who's been part of that for, you know, our association.
Forever.
30 years, 40 years.
Yeah.
And at the St. Aidan's Church, we have a kiosk there that we got the kiosk from Hydro, Rotary Help put it in. We are fully stocked there. We actually are a center where if we have an earthquake or any emergency, a fire, we go there. And this is good stuff to know. If you got a family or an elderly person, or, you know, your family members around there, it's good to know and participate so that if something happens.
Absolutely. And let's hope we never need to use it.
Yeah.
It's like the big new command vehicle that the police has got. It's massive. It's sensational. And we hope it never gets called out because it's prepared for a major disaster.
But I think, you know, we have to sort of not live in fear every moment.
No.
But be prepared because that's all you can do, right?
Exactly.
Now, how do you stay prepared? Because I know I've been your campaign manager 4 times. And
you have.
You've done a great job for Saanich and the people in Saanich. And you're very much in the gray. And that's why I've always supported you, because you really do kind of, you know, see all sides. How do you stay cohesive with maybe over the past 4 terms, different people who all have different opinions, say?
I think you always have to be open-minded. And, you know, one comes with their own opinions. But to be always aware that there other people have other opinions and work together and come to a common ground.
Yeah, it's hard not to fight sometimes, right?
Or it's hard not to fight sometimes.
And how about people that come to you and are always on you with something negative or want something done? Is that the same approach you take?
I do. I mean, what's the point of arguing? And you get people, usually they calm down, and you do, as I say, come to a common ground.
And so the latest thing, speaking of ground, is McKenzie Interchange.
Yes.
Now I hear, you know, there's nothing really, no blueprint, but a lot of people are saying, well, if they put a light at the light at Tillicum's still there, going to have a bottleneck. I know it's Saanich is not directly involved, but I know the mayor was there with the presentation because it runs through Saanich. What are you hearing from people, and how do you feel about this interchange? What are you wanting to see?
The biggest concern is Cuthbert Holmes Park. These are the people that have come forward, people that live in that community, and being very concerned that there'll be a large part of the park that will be taken over by this interchange. So we're going to have to work closely with the other levels of government to make sure that this plan works well. I don't think we want a mad toads ride through like we have out on the Bat Bay.
right. That's a terrible interchange. But we do have to sort of balance everyone's needs and also
yes.
the future growth of the city. I know hopefully they'll address other things like bicycling and all that.
But, oh, yes.
But it really is pretty bad, and it has to be addressed. And I'm glad finally. Hopefully it won't be too long before.
Well, when you get something like that, that's such a bottleneck, it impacts all the adjacent neighborhoods. And people have to go somewhere. And if they can't get through the main route, then they start finding other routes to get through. And so hopefully this plan, whatever it ends up being, will eliminate that or alleviate that. Because otherwise you just destroy wonderful neighborhoods.
Speaking of wonderful neighborhoods, I know in our area there's the Shelburne Corridor Plan. Where
yes.
is that at? Because, you know, I always consider Shelburne, you know, by Saanich and Fairways, and that is like downtown Saanich. It's old, it's established, but nothing's been done. I see all these other neighborhoods where
yeah.
they have all this updating and the streetscaping, and it's sort of like piecemeal there because they want to do this whole concept. What is the plan, and when will we see improvements?
That was the first shopping center in Saanich.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, no, I don't. Come on.
I know. My mother told me about it. I don't remember at
yeah.
all. I never pushed that little car. They didn't have little carts then, you know, for kids. They had big carts.
I know.
Yeah. So that means I was a little kid. It's coming. It is coming. There's lots of diverse opinions. As you well know, there's the, you know, the people that want to do the road diet, and there's the people that want it full-blown, you know, freeway. And it's a tricky situation because it's the part from Hillside through to Cedar Hill Crossroads. That's the part that's narrow. The part that goes beyond that has managed to develop out over the last 30 years because they had the road right away, but we don't have in that other part. And
but I see that, though, with the sidewalks. You know, even if some of those poles were buried, there's a lot of leeway there to increase that. And as you say, it's only that section. I'm not sure why it's all lumped into one because that area is bad. So I hope we see some movement soon.
I could never understand that either because I sat on the first Shelburne local area plan and we couldn't come up with a decision what was going to happen through that area from North Derry to Poplar or to Pear.
Mm-hmm.
And when it finally came out, it was in the local area plan there would be a special road design. And when former Mayor Leonard put that in his inaugural several years ago to look at this, as I said to him one day, what happened? He said, it grew legs, didn't it? Because
yeah.
it was only to be that section. And then suddenly, you know, it went from Cedar Hill Crossroads right through to Mount Douglas Park. And that's fairly established. So we're still, hopefully, we won't end this process and not have done anything about North Derry to
Well, I think that's where our citizens come in and we, you know, rally around and make sure it isn't, because it's really a safety hazard, especially if you're on a bike. It's terrible.
Well, you wouldn't want to do it. I only biked down there once, and at that time, the grates ran the same direction as your bicycle
Ooh.
Tire.
Ooh. Not fun at all. Not
no,
fun at all.
No.
Development. You know, I know we want to save our land, the ALR, and in town, around that Shelburne area, there's like five areas, Tillicum, and there's different
yes,
uptowns.
Yes, yes.
We want to have growth there. Are we seeing development coming, and are you happy with the progress at saving the ALR and, you know, infilling in town?
No, I'm certainly happy with that process. That putting the urban containment boundary in the 60s was one of the best decisions that our predecessors could have made. And I don't want to see that change. And so it's always been that we will develop by infill. The urban area will grow there. It will not grow beyond the urban containment boundary. And I don't think there's any question with my current colleagues or forthcoming, you know, generations of that will change. But it makes it really tricky. And I think, do you remember the Monster House Task Force that we did,
mm-hmm.
20-odd years ago?
Yeah.
And that helped some of the problems on infill. but there's still lots of problems that happen, and we need to look at some design constraints and things so that when somebody promises they're going to build it like this, you know, a house like this that isn't going to impact the neighbor, that actually happens. We have to be very careful what happens in existing neighborhoods.
What are the measures to make sure that is there anything?
Yeah, there's the, you know, the building code, there's the our bylaws and such, and how we dealt the Monster House task force was it was the definition of basement. So you could only build so big if there was a full basement. It's quite convoluted.
Right. I remember when we were working on the Richmond, the property there, the lovely now apartment that's condos at Poplar.
Oh, yes.
Richmond.
Yeah.
And that was a great design. But that took a lot of work and, you know, the right architects and everything else. But we're going to come back in 2 minutes and talk to Vicky more about Saanich and what's going on.
Everyone has an opinion.
He says on one hand it's a good deal, on the next comment he says it's not.
We've got the facts with news you can count on. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Victoria? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Victoria area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Victoria is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-591-2316. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-591-2316. That's 1-800-591-2316.
CFAX 1070, live on location.
Mark Rennie at the Victoria International Buskers Festival. We are in the Inner Harbour. Well, not actually in the water. That would be kind of cold. What is cool, though, is this event. Buskers from around the globe are in our city to perform for you. Now, these artists are truly that, artists. They've honed their skills, whether that be juggling, performing stunts, magic, or amazing acrobatic feats with their feet, their hands, and their entire bodies. There's a great international flavor to this event, both with the performers themselves and the tasty cuisine. We've got a great crowd down here. We'd like you to join us. We're here all afternoon and into the evening with the last performance at about 9 o'clock. Now, just a few meters away, Government Street will be closed to traffic as performances there begin at 6. Come check out the 6 stages of bustling busker activity, including at the Cool FM CFAX 1070 stage between Yates and Fort. No charge to get in, but we do recommend that you tip what you can afford. Second last day for the 2015 Victoria International Buskers Festival. Hope to see you here for CFAX 1070. Mark Brenne at Ship Point.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
What's new, my telestore associate?
I was just helping a really picky Optic TV customer.
Sorry to hear.
No, that's exactly what we want. With 25 new, smaller, less expensive theme packs, you now get more of the channels you love and pay for less of the ones you don't.
Like teenage vampire thrillers?
Visit telus.com/optic or telestore for details. Wait, you like teenage vampire thrillers?
Conditions apply.
Tell us.
We are back. I'm Patty Mack, and we've got Vicky Sanders here, Saanich counselor. We're talking about development, and you know, in a lot of cities, Calgary and Vancouver, you see smaller lots and coach houses,
yes.
A lot more lenience towards secondary suites because the price is getting so hard for people to rent or to be able to afford a house. What are you seeing in Saanich as regard to size of lots and these kind of things and coach houses or rentals?
There's been a conversation, I wouldn't be say a real conversation about coach houses, because as you all know that we've only approved secondary suites in some part of Saanich over the last couple of years, you know, north and south of Mackenzie. So that's been our first foray into multiple family or other families in a single home. But I'm well aware personally that people have coach houses or garages that actually look like they don't have cars in them.
Right.
You know, and I think in Saanich, with our bylaws and such, we look to compliance, not so much enforcement. So they are not legal. They're not allowed. However, if there's no problems, generally they happen.
Right.
But that's beyond the allowable. Will we be looking in the future at coach house and such? Possibly.
You know, they seem to be a real success in most places.
They seem to be, but you know, they're not for everywhere. And we always use the example of Secretova Bay Ridge. It's not close to amenities. It's definitely an area. If you lived there, you would be, you know, it's car-centric. So we would be looking at all those, you know, the smaller lots, the infill within the urban area, which has the amenities, you know, shopping and such.
It makes a huge difference, right? You have all the sort of restaurants, stores, groceries, everything you need right there, your doctor, and a lot of transportation, too.
Yeah, exactly. So you have transit and such and bike lanes. That's the areas we would be looking at those happening, because then you're not putting more vehicles out on the road.
Right.
Otherwise, if we develop way out into the, you know, the closer to the exterior of the urban containment boundary, then you're going to have just more and more cars.
Yeah, that's true. Sewage.
Sewage, that's a poopy subject.
It's a poopy subject, but someone's got to talk about it now.
A lot of people are.
A lot of people are, and it's been a long time. When is it going to be over? So the latest one is that there was...
The latest part, well, I'll talk generally where it's going. I'm not on the Court Liquid Waste Committee any further or any longer, because I was the alternate for the former mayor. Mm-hmm. But I'm still an alternate, so I get to attend the odd meeting. Where that's at, each municipality was, this, and I'm talking east side, because that's where our sewage and Saanich will go. We were to identify technically feasible properties for sewage treatment, which we did. We had, with Saanich, we had a couple of meetings, and we went through the whole municipality and looked where the most feasible spots are, which technically feasible, and we determined 46 sites. And I know I cringed about a few of them, but then they went down to the CRD, and they had a series of public meetings, and they had a committee, the East Side Committee, that looked at these. And from that 46, they identified a site. So what you were asking about on Monday was a site that was not considered. It was considered when council met. It looked at the site, and we definitely didn't support any sewage treatment on AL or lands. If we did, it had to fix that, address that technically feasible. So the property on Watkins Way that came forward on Monday, it was the mayor brought it back for reconsideration. It had already been turned down on June the 22nd. So when it came back, it was a combination of the ALR, the CRD had already done its site selection, they'd done their public engagement already, and it was not technically feasible. So it didn't pass.
There you go. And just so people know, when you have a position like you do, why do you want to be a counselor? And would you say for people it's a rewarding experience?
It's a rewarding experience. I've always cared about the municipality. My family wasn't terribly political, but they weren't political at all. Mm-hmm. But they were always, again, concerned about the community and how it developed and what was happening. And I guess that rubbed off on me a bit. And when I became a homeowner, I became involved in local area plans, and at that time it was Shelburne Plan. And I just was concerned, but not concerned because I was worried. It was just being part of how we become the best municipality in Canada.
Totally. And, you know, I think sometimes we've got to take the politics out of local stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's not about that. Either our kids, it should be about the community, not about our personal views.
No, exactly. That's what I like about local government, that it hasn't been political.
Totally. What do you think about this tents in Topaz Park?
Well, that's Victorian. I guess they make their own decisions. If you want to ask me about tents in the Cedar Hill Park, I'd say, oh, that would be silly. I don't think parks are for tenting.
And let's talk about some positive stuff, like festivals and all the parks we have this time of year and all the cool stuff you can do.
Oh, I just love our summers in Saanich because we have music in the park. So every Tuesday there's some community association that is putting on music in the park. And you know, that started, I'm going to say, about 10 years ago, and And it was one of the founding members of the Quadra Cedar Hill Association took me out to Brentwood and come on out to Music in the Park. And she had this idea that we could have music in the park in Saanich. And so she started that and worked with the Quadra Cedar Hill Community Association and Music in the Park in Rutledge. And it just took off. Other community associations looked at that. They partnered with Saanich, and they're wonderful. People come, there's music, there's food. I always like food. And they
and it's great for all ages, right?
Oh, absolutely.
If people want to know more about stuff, because, you know, you have a great site at Saanich, so it's all about development, the parks, everything.
Yes, it's all on there. And if you want to, if you, you know, you sign up, they'll send you emails telling you what's going on. They're on Facebook. That's all through recreation. So you're not going to hear from all of Saanich.
Right. And there's some great stuff, too, like the rec centers. Also, the arts committee. I know you've been involved in arts. You are an artist. What's happening with the Cedar Hill Arts Center?
Well, I chair the Arts Cultural Heritage Committee. So talk about a busman's holiday, eh? Had environment before that. That's even a great one, too. Cedar Hill Arts Center, there's lots of classes and such going on there. Good partnership with the Greater Victoria Arts Council. They look after the displays, hanging displays, and that's just a whole positive. Saanich isn't very good at waving its flag, so we, as they say, we keep our light under the bushel. But people go down there. It's not just about tennis at Cedar Hill. It's, and tennis is great, by the way. I want you to know that. But it, you go and do the arts.
Absolutely. You go to that coffee shop. It's fun.
Oh, and the coffee shop.
Because it's really like a gathering place, right?
Well, it's a real community center, and people are so shocked when you can come in there and what all what's going on.
And what's going on at the golf? At Cedar Hill Golf Course, what's happening there?
Oh, they've got a new manager there, and they have you know, grab and go. There's food there, and I've been to a number of events there, and they've just been fabulous. Food is wonderful.
So it's thriving.
It's thriving. The restaurant isn't open as it was, but there, you know, you can grab a coffee and a bit of food. And
what a beautiful piece of greenery to have!
Oh, it
is,
right? Isn't it?
Oh, it's like you go there and just something to eat and just sit in that golf course too. Beautiful scenery, seeing the Olympic Mountains. And
oh, it's just fabulous. Council met there recently to go over the strategic plan, and what a dinner. And
yeah, we live in paradise.
It wasn't a big dinner. It wasn't prime rib or anything. It was it was some cold cuts cold cuts and coffee.
Great. Well, time, Vic. You're going to hang around?
I'll hang around.
Awesome. When we come back after the news, we're going to talk to all of the senses. Yum.
Oh.
Nestled on Cedar Hill Crossroad, Highgate Lodge awaits you. I'm Linda Bishop. We're an intimate boutique seniors home. The atmosphere is one of comfort, connecting, and caring. With 54 private unique suites, a family atmosphere is felt throughout. Three delicious meals a day are enjoyed with old and new friends. And it's your choice to have a quiet moment or take part in the daily activities. Come home to Highgate, 250-472-0077.
My name is Tara, and I work for Sydney Allcare Residents. People always ask me, what makes Sydney Allcare different? For starters, we're all about care. We offer private rooms. We have our own on-site gourmet chef. We have 24-hour staff, and we always have fun. So what makes us different? At Sydney Allcare Residents, we're all about care.
Sydney Allcare Residents, privately offering respite, complex, and palliative care. Learn more at allcarecanada.ca.
Victoria's breaking news and talk that matters. CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon, I'm Kyle Reynolds with CFAX 1070 News. The Department of Foreign Affairs has confirmed the death of a Canadian man in Panama. CKNW in Vancouver is reporting that some social media reports indicate he was a former BC resident from Vancouver Island, but it doesn't specify from where. Local media reports the 53-year-old man was shot during a violent home invasion near the town of Boquete. They report he was shot while in the abdomen, and the women he were with were tied up before the suspect made off with computers and the family's car. Firefighters out in the water on a drill this morning came across someone who needed help near the Ogden Point breakwater. The crew was conducting fireboat drills aboard the fireboat Protector at around 9:15 this morning when they spotted a man whose boat had capsized. The Victoria Fire crew helped rescue the man and then towed his boat back to James Bay. Saanich police are investigating the sexual assault of a woman last week. She was walking down Quadra Street between Falmouth and Tattersall last Friday morning around 12:30 when she was pushed into a yard. She suffered minor injuries in the attack. Saanich police say the suspect is a male between 25 and 40 years old, standing about 6 feet tall. Liberal leader Justin Trudeau scoffs at Prime Minister Stephen Harper's plans to impose a moratorium on Senate appointments. Trudeau says Harper is simply trying to distract the public from his terrible economic record.
Mr. Harper has promised not to appoint any senators a number of times. He had promised it in the 2005-2006 election. He went and broke that promise 59 times. The fact is, we can't believe him on that. We need a real plan for improving our democracy.
Trudeau made those comments in Richmond yesterday while speaking after speaking to the local Chamber of Commerce. That's CFAX News. It's 1:32.
Okay, have you made your list?
Of my top three priorities? Yes.
Hit me.
Fuel economy, reliability, resale value.
Well, no surprises there.
Yeah, what do you have?
Backup camera, sleek styling, leather seats. Are you reading my mind?
I think I am.
Campus Honda, here we come.
Buying a car? Consider the 2015 Honda Civic. No matter what's on your list, it checks every box. Test drive a Civic today. All roads lead to Campus Honda. 506 Finlayson. Online at campushonda.com.
CFAX weather now, a mix of sun and cloud today. There is still a chance of showers this afternoon and into the evening as well. It's 20 degrees currently downtown, overnight low down to about 12. And tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud with a good chance of showers starting late in the morning and a high of 18 degrees. I'm Kyle Reynolds. Your next news update's coming up at 2 o'clock. Breaking news when it happens on CFAX. It's 1:33.
Trail Appliances BC Lions Football.
Thursday, the BC Lions are in Winnipeg looking to defuse the Blue Bombers. Kickoff at 5:30. Join me along with Julio Caravetta for BC Lions Football on the Lions Radio Network.
The BC Lions play here.
Brought to you by Dumont Tirecraft, Harbor Air Seaplanes, and Capital Iron.
This is where the pros play. CFAX 1070. Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to be with you every Saturday right here on CFAX 1070, home of the BC Lions. And also, Vicki Sanders is here. Vicki, are you a big football fan?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. My grandson played football this year.
What team was he on?
Uh-oh. They won the gold medal.
The gold medal. Well, that's fantastic. You know, my son's playing for the Rebels this year. They're in Kelowna right now, and their first home game is next Saturday at 7 o'clock out the West Shore. And football's big here in town, and so many great things to do in Victoria. And we're waiting for all of the senses to get in touch with us here. But while we wait, you know, you grew up in Victoria, and I know you post some fantastic pictures from the day, and here's Emily right now. Come on in. What are some of your favorite memories of when you grew up, and what kind of stuff do you like to do?
Oh, my favorite memories were just walking along the beach. I have a brother that's a year and a half younger, so there was the first family of three kids, and some reason my brother and I, we could just do whatever we wanted, and we went to the beach, and we went to the woods, and we had a summer home at Souk, and we kind of ran as, I don't know, wild children, but not wild doing wild things. We just were real nature.
I remember that too. You know, I see posts some people on Facebook, and one of them, their kid has a, you know, makes little barges in Oak Bay, right?
In the waterfront.
Yeah. We used to do that. My brother and I would get some logs, and he was just so great at building stuff, and he'd put them together, and then he'd get a little line, and we'd fish, and we would leave it in some little cove, come back the next day, kind of like we were, you know, pioneers. It was so much fun, right? And we never seemed to be home. You go home for a meal, and out you went again, right?
I took my grandson and granddaughter to Willows Beach, I guess, last week, and, you know, there's a log stuck up at the beach, and, I mean, you know, modern kids are like, how are we going to get it off the beach? So off with the shoes, pulled up the pants, and I waded out in the water. They're shocked because it's cold and it's salt.
Oh, yeah, we used to ride those around,
had,
right?
Had this log out there floating, and, well, now what?
What a good grandma. And then you make the fort, right?
Oh, yeah.
So cool. Well, joining us right now is Emily from All of the Senses, which is a tasting experience at the Hudson. How are you, Emily?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. It's so good to see you. I've heard great stuff about you. My sister-in-law, Jill Moores, was saying you got to get in touch with her. And I know you've got lots of fans. You started out at the markets, and now you've progressed to your own business. How are you liking that next step?
Oh, love it. Yeah, it's amazing how we've grown and just had the support of the community, which has been really amazing. So.
Now, you must have a great love of olive oil and balsamic vinegars, because if you go on your website, which has really got a lot of information on it, you know, your family comes by us naturally. Tell us the history of how you got into this.
It's so hard to explain, but my husband and I were working in Europe for a nonprofit agency there, and his aunt was our closest family. So we would go down to Italy for weekends, holidays, and just fell in love with olive oil, but totally took it for granted. And
until you got back.
Yeah, until we got back.
Have any.
Exactly. And pulled our staple bottle off the shelf and was like, oh, this tastes like paint thinner. What is this? So my background's in chemistry. So I started diving into a lot of the technical details of actually what is in our olive oil and our food today, and came up with some pretty unfortunate information.
Really? Like what?
Well, unfortunately, olive oil is one of the last unregulated food items in Canada, so they don't have to put an ingredient list on the bottle. So most of the oil that we have is highly refined, so there's lots of chemical processes and whatnot going on and latent chemical reactions happening in the olive oil itself. So it's actually not the healthiest for us to be eating. And they also have the ability to cut it with other oils. There's lots of CBC marketplace studies and whatnot coming out now about olive oil adulteration. So you can never really trust what's in the bottle, which is really scary.
And, you know, I know on your site you talk about the benefits of olive oil. So the kind that you have, tell us where it's from and what are these benefits from extra virgin?
We source our oil from 12 different countries, all fair trade. So we work with small groves that are very focused on quality rather than just commercial quantities that they need to survive. And because of that, we do full sensory and chemical analyses on all of our olive oils as well. So you know the antioxidant content, you know the omega-9 content, you know how quickly it's oxidizing, how long it'll last, all sorts of technical things that help you know how high you can heat your oil, if you can bake with it or cook with it, all sorts of things like that.
And how much should you have a day? Like, even if you're not using it for cooking, some people might just eat it by a tablespoon. How much can you eat? You know, because I know it's high in calories, but the benefits outweigh the calories because it's good for you.
And
how many calories or how much should you have, and how long will it last on your shelf?
2 to 4 tablespoons per day is recommended. So it's actually quite significant. It's almost a quarter of a cup. But the antioxidant contents and the healthy fats actually lower your cholesterol levels. So it is high in calories, but it's such a healthy fat that it's known to decrease cholesterol. But it also has lots of anti-inflammatory properties. So people who have joint pain, arthritis, it actually really...
You.
Exactly.
It's like WD-40 for the body.
exactly.
With calories.
Yeah, exactly.
With calories. Awesome. And how long will your product last on the shelf? And does it last a little less time because it's more natural?
Exactly. So our fresh olive oil is only good a year from harvest. That's the general...
A year? That's a long time.
Exactly. When you think about it as a fresh fruit juice, it is a long time compared to apple juice or orange juice. When it's fresh squeezed, it doesn't last that long. But the olive oil you'll find on your grocery store shelves has a 2 to 5 year expiry date or best before date slapped on it.
So. And in a dark cupboard?
Exactly. Yeah. So dark cupboard for us, it's a year from harvest, and dark glass and a dark cupboard.
And what do
they
do with that little olive? Like, do they squeeze it? How do they get it? Like,
it's literally crushed. So it's, you take the whole olive, so they're picked off the tree, and then they go through hammers. So they literally smash the pit and the flesh. The unique part is that if you taste an oil and it's very fruity and creamy and rich, those flavors actually come from the pit. They don't come from the actual flesh of the olive. If you eat an olive off the tree, it's very bitter and whoever decided to squish an olive was genius, because on their own, they are disgusting. They're so bitter. But it's actually crushed, and then they malax it. So they basically put it in a massive KitchenAid mixer and mix the pulp and the pit together, and that infuses the olive with itself. So the oil is actually kept in little capsules inside the flesh. And then the flesh is where the flavor comes from. And then the oil is in these little capsules. So by crushing it, you're popping those little capsules and you're infusing the olive with itself. And then it's spun off in a centrifuge. So the oil is separated from the pulp.
Wow. So. You thought it was a dumb question. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's a really
Are
cool
you
process
a mind reader?
No, I heard your laugh. Okay. We get back. We're going to talk about the balsamic vinegar because that's really good too. And maybe some of these infused oils because the lemon one.
Oh, so good.
And maybe a few recipe ideas. Back in 2 minutes.
The Victoria International Buskers Festival is here. And CFAX 1070 invites you downtown for some unforgettable shows from the world's best street performers, magicians, jugglers, unicyclists, acrobats, and more. Plus, check out the International Food Village in the Inner Harbor, the Victoria International Buskers Festival, proudly supported by CFAX 1070. CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Fairway Markets.
Hi, Victoria. I'm Caitlin Livingston, letting you know what's going on around the area. The Great Gatsby returns this Wednesday. Register your foursome today for the swanky 1920s-style evening of lawn bowling, cocktails, snacks, and prizes benefiting the Canadian Cancer Society's Caught for Cancer Tuity Rock. And tomorrow is the last day of the Buskers Festival. I've been there every weekend, and trust me, the entertainment is amazing, free, and family-friendly. Entertainers include flamethrowers, acrobats, magicians, jugglers, unicyclists, hula hoops, giant puppets, balloonists, musicians, and more. And remember to get your Great Canadian Beer Fest tickets before they're all sold out. That has been your Community Connections, brought to you by Fairway Market. No club cards, no points, no gimmicks, just great card-free pricing.
Long ago, in a galaxy far away, Brian Mulroney's conservative government wanted to shut every post office down.
What happened, Dad?
People fought back, and the conservatives lost the next election.
So what's happening now?
This government is trying to put in those big mailboxes.
And stop delivering to the door?
Canada Post has a huge delivery network. Private companies would love this.
It's a done deal, isn't it, Dad?
That's what the Mulroney government thought, too.
A message from the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, Local 850.
Riddle me this, what's 3,000 square feet but hard to spot? It's the Royal Museum Shop on the main floor of the Royal BC Museum. Not only do you not have to pay admission to shop, all purchase proceeds support our world-class museum. You'll find the most intriguing and unique items, from art cards to original artwork, jewelry, toys, books, and clothes for all ages, many of them distinctly BC. Look for the shop to the left of the museum's main entrance or ask about it at the info desk. The Royal Museum Shop, Victoria's best-kept secret.
CFAX Sunday, the biggest stories of the week, revisited with all your favorite hosts, Sunday morning at 8 on CFAX 1070.
We are back. I'm Patty Mack. You're listening to Lifestyle right here on CFAX 1070 every Saturday from 1 to 2. I do appreciate you joining me every week. If you want to know more about me or my guests, go to lifestylewithpattymack.com for radio and real estate. We have all of the senses here, which is Emily Lycopolis, and her husband Stephen, of course, is back manning the shop. Vicki Sanders from Sanders Council is here. We're talking about the vinegars or the oils. Now we're going to talk about balsamic vinegar, which on your website was really cool to look at because that's a whole other process,
exactly,
which I didn't know about. And I've always thought maybe some of these ones on the shelf, I love it and love the glazes, but I wonder about the sugar content and everything else. Tell us how that's made and why that's also really good for you.
It's as polar opposite from olive oil as you can imagine. So yeah. Everything that I just told you about olive oil, throw that away.
Okay.
The older the better with balsamic vinegar. So it lasts forever, which is really great. So you can literally make a collection of them and they'll outlive all of us combined. The oldest vinegar.
Just like women. Yeah. The older the better.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay.
Exactly. But for the balsamic vinegar specifically, they take the Trebbiano grape, which is a white grape, if you can believe it, and they caramelize it over an open wood fire in copper kettles so it's reduced and it gets all goopy and caramely and delicious. And then from there, they take that reduced grape juice and put it into wood barrels to age. Sometimes it's inoculated with a little bit of red wine just to kind of introduce some yeast and help it ferment, and they leave it. It goes from different kinds of wood barrels. So they're torched on the inside, but it'll be chestnut and oak and cherry and mulberry
like Chardonnay,
and ash.
Like
exactly. Yeah. But all of the different balsamic vinegars go through a process of being in the different wood barrels. So that's what gives it the complexity. Venturi Schultz here on the island is the only producer in North America outside of Moderna, actually, that makes authentic balsamic vinegar, which is pretty special for us to have them so close. They purchased a Battaglia, which is the series of barrels, a number of years ago, and are making a delicious vinegar as well.
And that's how many years then to get to the final product?
It takes a minimum of 12 years to get to the final product because of the barrel process. Ours are aged up to 18 years, but every 2 years it goes from one barrel to another barrel, and then it's topped up with the fresh grape juice. So that's how you get this really complex and delicious
and,
rich volume.
And so. Wine, what is the difference between, you know, kind of going that route or that route?
Yeah,
what happens
so
with it?
Wine is... fermented first. It's not reduced. So if you think a long time ago, hundreds of years ago, when the French wine community was really the only wine community we knew, the Italians were really trying to separate themselves away from that. So you've got, you know, Amarone, you have all these different beautiful Italian wines, Prosecco, trying to differentiate themselves from Champagne. This was another attempt to change. They were trying to make port. And so by trying to make this sweet dessert wine, they decided to caramelize the juice first. And in that process, realized that it actually became vinegar and didn't stay alcoholic. But its original intention was to be a beverage. It was to be an after-dinner aperitif, just like
port. You're smart.
So. Yeah.
You know a lot of stuff.
Wow.
It's like a little lesson. I love
it. It's fun.
And what about glaze? Like, is it better to have it the vinegar because there's not much sugar?
Well, it takes about 30 seconds or less to make a glaze.
Oh, is that
so
right?
So we don't actually sell any glazes in the store. We just tell you how to do it. It take regular balsamic vinegar. Pour it into, let's start here. Most of the vinegar glazes you find in the store just have xanthan gum added. So it's just an artificial thickener. Rather than doing that, take regular balsamic vinegar, pour it into a pot, or I like to do it in a frying pan, actually. Bring it to a rolling boil and take it off the heat once it's bubbling and do one swirl. And you'll notice it just kind of wings around the pan. Put it back on the heat. It'll continue to boil. Swirl it again. And it'll whip around the pan, but there'll be a tail. If you swirl it a third time, you'll notice that it just coats the bottom of the frying pan. Take it off the heat and let it cool, and it's done.
Beautiful.
So it's just about, you know, three swirls in a frying pan, and you've got a beautiful balsamic.
And then you don't have this fake sugar and all
exactly.
that stuff, right?
Yeah, nothing else is added.
And you're talking about balsamic and the pairing. So
yeah.
On your site, you can do... like your olive oils with your...
There's a million different combinations.
How does that work? This is kind of a new thing for me. I'm not really all that
exactly.
aware of all
so if you think about, we all love to put maple syrup on top of fresh strawberries, right? So why not take a strawberry balsamic vinegar and drizzle that on top of your spinach salad? Or take... we love to mix garlic with lemon juice. Well, if you're lazy, like me, I don't like mincing garlic, so I'll just use our garlic-infused olive oil and then mix our Sicilian lemon white balsamic, and you have the same flavor as taking all the time and mincing your garlic and squeezing
Vicky,
your lemon
weren't
juice.
Were you excited during the break when we were talking about this? Doesn't that sound amazing? Like a whole, if you haven't tried this already, what a great way to... you know, kind of up your cooking and have something new, especially for summer right now.
Exactly.
You know, with the fish or chicken, you know, barbecuing. Because you're a big barbecue, aren't you, Vicky? You're the barbecuer in the family.
I'm the barbecuer in the family.
You wear the pants.
We're not going to discuss that.
And Josh, I know you go to the market, and you're saying your three-year-old loves to go and sample all the
vinegars. We'll just go through and taste them randomly, and he loves them. Surprisingly so. I mean, because you don't really put three-year-old boys and balsamic vinegar in the same sentence.
Maybe he's like that. He likes to get some of those, you know, free samples.
That's right. He's got a good taste and good value for money.
We actually
He's high end. That's awesome.
That's amazing. We actually have little lids that we have to put on our tasting cups so that kids can come in and take them and sip them for the road, because we have so many kids and families that will come in, and the kids actually point out, oh, Mom, I want this one for my salad this week, and Mom, I want that one for my salad next week.
Well, I think that's great. Like Josh's son, if kids can get onto this early and know the good stuff in life as opposed to, you know,
exactly.
stuff that's not so great for you. When we come back, I want to talk about some recipe ideas because I'm sure you have a pretty good repertoire. Back in 2 minutes.
For over 50 years, Jet Air Appliances has provided your home with high performance and enduring styles. Since 1988, Lansdowne Appliance Gallery has supplied Victoria with exceptional service and unbeatable prices. Until August 31st, Lansdowne is offering a Gen Air special. Save a whopping 3 times the GST when you purchase any 2 or 3 qualifying Gen Air appliances. A match made in heaven. Gen Air at Lansdowne Appliance on the corner of Douglas and Kings and at LansdowneAppliance.com.
There were fresh baked scones in the kitchen. We would arrange flowers in the garden, and we'd listen to beautiful music in the afternoon. But that was all last week.
At Trillium Care Communities, we respect your loved one's individual needs and lifestyle. We support all levels of care, and everyone is welcome. We understand this chapter in life can be challenging, but Trillium truly does feel like home. Trillium Care Communities, come join our family. Visit TrilliumCare.ca. Call about our summer rate special on now at Craig Derrick Care Home.
CFAX 1070, live on location.
Mark Brenne at the 2015 Victoria International Buskers Festival. CFAX 1070 is a proud sponsor of this international event, and it truly is international with performers from the UK, Sweden, Australia, and of course Canada and the United States. These kids got talent, folks. New Zealand's Basketball Jones is just wrapping up his juggling act. He had the crowd really charged. The loud, enthusiastic, rhythmic applause made it sound kind of like a European football match. Nicely done, Basketball Jones. There are 6 stages for your busker viewing pleasure, and performances such as flame throwing, juggling, and acrobatics continue until 10. At 6, Government Street will be shut down, and you can catch more amazing acts, including at the Cool FM CFAX 1070 stage between Yates and Fort. No charge to get in, just try to tip your performers what you can afford. A loonie or two, or maybe drop in a tenner if your entire family has been entertained. It's the 2015 Victoria International Buskers Festival. For CFAX 1070, Mark Brenne at Ship Point.
Hi, I'm Robin Muir. Arranging for the transfer of your family's assets to your beneficiaries requires careful planning. You want to ensure that your wishes are carried out as you intended, while minimizing taxes, expenses, and any potential family conflict in the process.
Call Hatch & Muir, certified financial planners. They specialize in helping families manage wealth transfer. Visit them online at hatchmuir.com. That's hatchmuir.com.
Hatch & Muir, we can help you.
If you live with low energy, you know how challenging it is. Why not make a change? Try Adrenal Start from NutriStart. Adrenal Start lowers cortisol levels. That's the stress hormone that makes you store belly fat. Adrenal Start raises DHEA levels. That's the mother hormone that manages andropause and menopause. And Adrenal Start helps you sleep through the night. So take Adrenal Start, the stimulant-free solution to increase your energy levels. Available at Lifestyle Markets on Douglas Street in Cook Street Village and on 5th Street in Sydney.
We are back. I'm Patty Mack. You're listening to Lifestyle right here on CFAX 1070. In the studio, Vicki Sanders from Saanich Council. And I also have Emily Lycopolis from All of the Senses, which is a tasting experience. They have the balsamic vinegars and the olive oils. And we're talking about also skincare, because you have a skincare line that is olive-based.
It is, yeah. So it is all olive oil-based. We source it from Italy directly. It comes from Bologna, a little city in the north. And it is amazing. Yeah, it's amazing.
You have good skin.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, I guess, if you're going to, like you were saying, put this olive oil, which is good for you, is probably really good for your skin, too.
Exactly.
The other way around. You have a cookbook coming out.
Yes, we do.
How exciting.
Very exciting.
And how did you choose which recipes, and what kind of different areas are you covering?
Oh, it was so hard to choose. We have a pretty big repertoire, and because we do cooking classes almost every week in the Victoria Public Market Community Kitchen, we have so many recipes, it was hard to choose. But we decided to, rather than kind of keeping it like your standard cookbook with appies and main course and dessert, that kind of thing, it's actually organized by oil and vinegar. Oh. So if you take home the garlic-infused olive oil or the lemon-infused olive oil, you can actually flip to that section, and the best recipes using the lemon olive oil are all together. And there's like a title page with all the other recipes where you could use the lemon olive oil in the rest of the book. So it's interestingly organized.
But that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's easy.
Vicki, you were saying you're not cooking anymore, and I was saying Hudson's doing the cooking, and I used to have cooking seasons. Me and my friend Judy Feinstein would laugh, because it was, you know, when our kids were in school, we'd have cooking seasons where we cooked, and then the off season, which grew longer and longer. Mm-hmm. I know you do like cooking.
I do.
Or you know, you're the head chef. What kind of stuff inspires you? Like, what do you think you want to try with some of these oils?
Well, I don't use a lot of oils or anything, so I just like to try. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Start gently.
So,
My daughter uses a lot, and she's quite a gourmet cook.
Denise.
Yes, Denise. And I'm quite excited. I get me get the cookbook, and going to visit her at the end of August.
I think Jill was talking about these cooking classes. So when are these on?
We do them on Thursday evenings in the community kitchen in the public market. And they're a lot of fun. It's a full three-course meal. So we cook it together. Everybody has their own cutting board and knives and whatnot. So it's very interactive and we come prepared to get dirty. We get an apron and everything as well. And so we cook a full three-course meal together. We eat it together. You take home the recipes, some granola for morning breakfast, and any leftovers as well. So it's a pretty fun experience. And we do them on a whole variety of different things. We're having a canning class at the end of August, and barbecue is kind of the focus right now. Summer picnic we just did. So there's lots of fun classes.
So let's talk about that. Summer picnic. Yeah. What kind of stuff are you going to do and using your products? What? Give us some ideas.
I love to make hummus with our olive oil. It's so delicious and very easy. You just literally take some chickpeas. I like to shell my chickpeas. It takes about five minutes to do. I know, but that makes it extra creamy. If you pinch the chickpea between your index finger and your thumb and you just kind of twist, it'll take the skin off, and that makes your hummus extra creamy. You don't get kind of the grittiness of the skin. So I take the few minutes to do that, and then I'm just pouring some garlic oil and a little bit of lemon balsamic vinegar in the blender, and you have hummus. It's really easy.
I think I'll minus that first step. I usually just buy it.
But you can do that. I love to make baba ganoush, which is a dip made from roasted eggplants. So you can just take some eggplants, cut them in half, drizzle them with some olive oil, bake them at about 425 for 15 to 20 minutes, and then just scoop out the inside. I like to add a little bit of extra garlic in there. And you've got another really good dip that you can have with corn chips, tortillas, anything like that. It's easy to make cookies for picnics. I love to have like little two-bite brownies. And rather than using the, you know, cup or so of butter, we have an olive oil to butter conversion chart on our website. And I'll use blood orange olive oil, so you get like this chocolate orange brownie. It's delicious.
Didn't you have a butter olive oil?
We do, yeah.
So how does that work? Because that appeals to me, because I'd butter my hand and eat that. I love butter.
Exactly. I do too. My husband.
The only reason I eat bread is so I can put some butter on it.
Me too.
Yeah, it's butter sandwich. So good. Our butter-infused olive oil is actually pretty unique because it is vegan. But there's an olive variety. It's called the Sweet Bernea olive variety, and it is naturally just very buttery. But it has a peppery finish on the back of your palate. So it's infused with an herb. The Grove won't tell us. It's a trade secret what herb it is that they use to cut the peppery finish on the back of your palate. So all you taste is the natural buttery center of that olive variety itself. So delicious. It's great for popcorn. And it's stable enough that you can actually pop your popcorn in it, old-fashioned.
And
it's
not really bad.
Exactly. It's really good for you.
And so one more thing. Let's talk about, like, if someone's barbecuing tonight, we have about a minute left, and you have maybe some chicken or fish or, prawns. What are some good ways to put some balsamic and oil on it?
With prawns, I love to use our Persian lime infused olive oil with the Cara Cara orange vanilla white balsamic vinegar. Those two together, or with our coconut white balsamic vinegar, is absolutely delicious, and it's so easy. You just need a little drizzle of both. If you have roasting potatoes on the barbecue, I just finished a demo in the public market where I used some fresh rosemary, lemon juice, and just a regular straight fresh extra virgin olive oil, and they were so good. You can also, if you've got halibut, use our lemon or dill infused olive oil, just drizzle it on top and bake it.
Emily, you have just given us some great ideas. I mean, I think you're going to have a rush of people to your store today.
Absolutely.
Honestly, that's fantastic. And great explanation about how it all works. It was really, really interesting.
Thank you
for coming in, and success to you in the future.
Anytime. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And Vicki Sanders, all the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Have a great
rest
of your summer. Josh, as always, thank you. And until we meet again, get out there and enjoy your summer. And next week, Rebels, 7 o'clock.